point, I called the police last before I left on what looked like a pit bull that was roaming around here, and said, "Look, we've had attacks in the neighborhood, and I see this pit bull." And the girl said, "Well, is it attacking someone now?" I said, "Well, no." And she says, "Well, I'll connect you with animal control." So she put me on the endless telephone loop. They never came on. No one ever answered recordings. So I called 911 back and I said, "Look, if you're not going to help me, just say you're not going to help me. Don't put me on that crappy track you just pulled." And I was so upset because they just blow you off.
All right. We're on Luke chapter 3. Just to review, in verse 7, they then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore a fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father as our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." We spent a lot of time on the generation of vipers. It means the you sons of the snake. And they don't say within yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." That was the general lie in Israel, that Abraham was their father, and therefore they had to do something extraordinarily bad not to be able to enter the kingdom of God. And that's why when the baptism of John took place, he took them to those that he would baptize, they had to go to the other side of the Jordan, indicating that they weren't worthy to be in the kingdom of God. And then they were baptized as their burial and resurrected. And then I'm able to raise these stones up to Abraham. Now in verse 9, that's where we are. Now the axe. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. In these kinds of things, the metaphor is that the fig tree is Israel, and once in the Old Testament, the olive tree. But when it says all trees, it means the human race. And he is saying the axe is laid to the root of the human race. It's a huge deal. Nothing in and of itself that's from that point forward until the human race is not to be saved. It can't be saved. That's why, as we studied yesterday, or talked about yesterday, in reality, Rosh Hashanah, when Jesus was born, was Judgment Day. And then he gave repentance until Yom Kippur. You have another chance to repent in the days of all. And he was baptized. And then they had another chance to repent until the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now that long suffering of God is now 2,000 years old, and there's so much evidence that this is true, and it's so by the scriptures and even by observation, and yet it's man cannot believe that the axe is laid to the root of the trees. There's still belief that something in them can be saved. Something in them is good. Ain't true. Now the acts. The word now is important. It means now, at this time already. Let's look and see how where other places it's used, now is used. Let's go to Matthew 14. And the reason that now is so important is because you've got to see the immediacy of that word that was said 2,000 years ago. Matthew, what did I say? 14.
Ties in with it is finished.
Amen. Something else nobody believes. Can't learn anything.
Yeah, it's already done.
No, that's, and as I said, the for most of you that are at Trinity and for the ones that listen, it's like they knew. I mean, there was something in you that knew already. And all I can do is act as a witness or a spark to unite with that divine impulse within you so that there is a witness. And so that's the first witness. The second witness are the scriptures. And then the third witness is the body. The fourth witness is what was done in the first century, what was taught in the first century. Anything after the first century isn't worthy of being discussed as a tradition because it's just a tradition that men invented. That's why I spent so many years studying that period of time between, well, from Jesus' life, but also from the standpoint of from his crucifixion to really what happened in AD 135 when the final possibility of Jerusalem being restored was finished. In a minute we're going to go through these incredible genealogical records showing the genealogy of Christ. And it's very precise. And the Jews kept genealogical records more better than any other race, any other people. Because their testimony, whoever was involved in it, had to meet the standard of that genealogical record. And as we've talked about today, the people are preaching that Jesus is going to return and set up his physical kingdom on earth. Well, there is no possibility, not even the slightest possibility, that if Jesus after the flesh returned to the earth, that he could prove that he was Messiah. Well, you might say, well, you would know. Well, no, that's not proof. What's going on? Oh, that's my friend. Anyway, do you understand this? Don't be deceived. Many are coming in his name saying that he is the Christ. That's no big deal. But is he your only life? Yeah, well, that's just the Antichrist. All right, Matthew 14. Let's go to verse 22. This is, we're talking about this word now, which is ada in the Greek. And it has a sense of immediacy of the present time. And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. That word now there is ada. It talks about the ship was in the midst of the sea. And then, you know, they're tossed and everybody got... And Jesus walked on water. Let's look at John 6. The reason we're doing this is I want you to realize that this word ada means now. Now, 2,000 years ago. John 6, verse 15. Oh, it's the same one. Never mind. We don't go there. Romans 13. Start in verse 11. And that knowing the time that now is, now is the word, ada, that now is 2,000 years ago. Knowing the time that now is, it is high time. No, wait a minute, I didn't read that right. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day is here, is what he's saying. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. All works of darkness are anything that you can conceive of. All works of darkness are anything your mind can think, anything your hands do, any... Remember that great statement in Luther, that Luther made? He said, rest assured, when you think your thoughts, you can rest assured that that is the thorns being pounded into the skull of Christ. He said, rest assured, when your hand finds something to do, that is the nail being again pounded into his hand or wrist. When you think you have some place to go, that is the nail being pounded into his feet. Can you see the majesty of that? Can you see the abject evil of your mind? It's not a light thing. You're doing it, Gary.
Oh, I'm catching the majesty of the fact of in the Son of God's hands, nails had to be put in a nail through your hand into wood, ties it down. How much more drama do you need to get the message?
Amen. Pretty clear.
Yeah. And when you first started this morning, I was seeing how my basic nature resists the gospel. And it does it in subtle ways and dramatic ways, different ways, but it resists it. And I haven't been here for a week, so it's maybe a little fresh or something. I don't know. But the idea that's what I do. I resist death. And in this analogy of what it takes to hold that hand to keep it from doing it, and the fact that it happened to Jesus, it just all this kind of comes together in a crescendo.
Let's go to Isaiah 53 a minute. Or Mako. We can go there for more than a minute. This is a famous "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And the arm there is, you know, we've talked about it many times. It's the word Zeruah, the seed. "For he shall grow up before him," before all of us, "as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That's talking about Jesus Christ. He has no form nor comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And yet how many millions of people say he should be a role model? He's not a role model. Oh, he was a good teacher. He was a terrible teacher from the human race's standpoint. Said you can't come to him unless you hate your mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children, yea, and your own life also. You can't serve him and mammon. What is mammon? Anything, the slightest thing that you have any confidence in. Well, that's not where we're going. We just started. "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when you shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men." And in Hebrew it says, "He is despised and rejected of all men." That's just what Gary said. It's not just Gary that's an enemy. We are all enemies of the cross, and therefore enemies of Christ. That's why Paul said, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind or give breath to earthly things. It doesn't matter whether earthly things are social justice, or it doesn't matter whether the earthly things are red state, blue state. It doesn't matter whether earthly things are immigration, just to pick on Gary for a minute. You understand? If any man love the world, love there is a verb, agapeo. If any man love the world, that means give breath to anything in the world. That's what the verb agapeo means. If you give importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That includes the Rangers or the Cowboys or the Mavericks or whatever sports teams are in the areas of the people listening. That includes any government, any political activity, any political party, any cause. People tell me, you have a cause, you're trying to take down evangelists. No, I'm not. It's just what God put in our hand to do. I give it no more importance than mowing the grass. Let's go back to Luke. No, we're going now to 1 John. And especially give no importance to yourself. Give no importance to how you feel or what you think or what you want or what you don't want, what you like, what you dislike. It's all meaningless. If you're married, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you work for somebody, You work for them as though they were Jesus Christ himself. Because that's, if whatever laws there are in the world, you obey them, because they are the law of, that God is using to destroy your idolatry. Nobody likes these words. Oh, I think this is the right way. No, I hate them. If you say you love the word, then you're really not very honest. Amen? Where did I say go? 1 John. I keep getting off on these tangents. Stop it, huh? That's easy for you to say. What? Well, again, it's I just despise just me talking. I'm glad you say that. I want you to. Verse 7, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. That's the Torah. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. He just said he writes no new commandment, and then he says a new commandment. Because he's expanding it, he's making it, he's opening the eyes of their understanding so they see what the old commandment meant. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The darkness passed 2,000 years ago. What is the darkness? It's anything about you. The light now shineth. He is your only life. What?
I see the resistance coming into focus here, in that my humanity has a total way of perceiving what it thinks is reality. And then these words come against every perception of my reality. There's nothing that I perceive that's real or true. It's just filtered through these eyes and mush in my head. And so when you talk about a day from God's standpoint, you can't interpret it as the normal day. It's so outside of time. And now when you get out there and start looking at things, it makes sense. Otherwise, it's just it's cacophonous in your brain or something to perceive how big this is. I was telling everybody before yesterday when I was at the finally got down the mountain and standing there in front of the waterfall and just letting the power of that experience overwhelm me. It's like I felt like I touched a bit of God's soul, which is so much bigger than I am, and it annihilated a lot of me, as much as
Amen.
I could perceive. And in that annihilation, my vision started clearing up. Human beings do. They want to see God from their own perspective, but you can't live.
If you will confess with your mouth and believe that in your heart Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. But if he's raised from the dead in you, you can't be two people. It can't be you and Jesus. To confess means it's the word homologio, to confess the Lord. And that means, it doesn't mean, oh, I confess that you exist, Jesus. or even I confess that you are my life, Jesus. To confess means to hear the same thing as he hears. And if you hear, whatever you hear is what you see. So if what you're hearing vis-a-vis the word of God is just some idiot preacher that hasn't experienced it, that's just words and philosophy, then you can't... But to confess him, you have to see from his perspective. First, you have to hear from his perspective. But once you hear, then your ear is circumcised. And you see from the top down, no longer from the bottom up. And you see without time. You see that this instant is the same instant that Jesus was raised from the dead. You see that all men die at the same exact instant. You see that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And that's why we must walk and live as though the next breath was the judgment day. And if that doesn't bring you the fear of God or the beginning of wisdom, then you don't understand the fear of God. The fear of God, when you see and hear and know the fear of God, you are gone. So repentance becomes you are gone. Humility becomes you are gone. Peace becomes you are gone. Love becomes you are gone. The way becomes you are gone. The truth becomes you are gone. Everybody thinks they're a truth seeker. Oh, I'm just a truth seeker. No, you're not. You're a truth seeker as long as it keeps you alive. This is why the scriptures are clear. It says if you're a follower of his, you'll be hated of all men. That's kind of interesting. And for me personally, I'm kind of getting near there. But you'll be hated of all men. Because this mystery of the gospel is an enemy of every form of thought that has ever existed in the human race. It's an enemy of every financial system. It's an enemy of every philosophical system. It's the enemy of every science. It's the enemy of every kind of thought there is. It says, if you're his follower, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. Now, this isn't a light matter. But in the same parts, you have to see that this place, this mystery, this thing, this Trinity, whatever we are, it is no more important than a grain of sand in the economy of God. I'm the least important. There's no more enjoyment of getting a new thought. Hearing a new thing, that's just crap. If you're in pain, if you're suffering, you've been counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ, to fill up that which is lacking in the affliction of the body of Christ, the bride, to perfect the bride. If I didn't know this, I'd have killed myself 100 times because the pain is so intense, it's not even comprehensible. I mean, stop playing in the tiddlywinks. Stop every once in a while you say, oh yeah, I see. And then 5 minutes later, you're off on a tangent or you get a boo-boo and, oh, poor me. People don't like me. Poor you. Oh, I think that person's ignoring me. Well, you probably deserve to be ignored. I just went on another rant. Why did I do that? All right. Anybody have any response to any of this? David? You're smiling on the outside. What's going on in the inside?
I don't know. I'm having trouble putting thoughts.
That's all right. I won't put you on the spot. Gary, any thoughts?
Continually clarifying.
Remember what the latter rain is. The early rain, the word early rain means teacher of righteousness. The latter rain is hearing as a perfectly cast bell. You hear that sound and nothing else satisfies. Amen? Amen over there?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.